Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Tuesday, the 24th of February. Very nice to have you with us for this morning and our discussion. We always invite you to join us, roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. There's lots of other ways that you can join us as well. You can go to our Facebook page. You can go to our Twitter page. You can tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. That's that little squiggly at sign at WAMC Roundtable. Or you can simply go to WAMC.org/roundtable and you will see a posting for today's panel, which is 2/24/15. And you can click on that and post your comment and be a part. We'll all get it and be able to respond to you. So those are all of your options, and they are many. So hopefully you will employ one of them over the next hour or so. Let me introduce the panel to you. First and foremost, WAMC's Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm glad I live on the western side of Massachusetts.
As opposed to being snowed in on the eastern
side
of Massachusetts. Yeah.
It's terrible.
I saw a picture, I guess it was on Facebook, and I tried to look at different sources to see if it was Photoshopped or something. It was Route 6 going up from I think Chatham to Provincetown, and there was a big tour bus in the middle of the road, and the snow was maybe 2.5 times higher than the bus.
No.
Wow. It was incredible, just absolutely incredible.
I was in Boston this weekend, and really, television, still photos just do not do it justice. We have a lot of snow here. They have snow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And I may get in trouble for doing this, and I know the governor and I know the mayor have been very this whole diving, snow diving. I know it's bad. I know it's dangerous. But I got to tell you, those videos look really cool. It's a bad thing to do to jump out of a third-story window into a snowbank. However, it does look kind of fun.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It's not for me.
No, I know it's obviously not for me either, but it does. I have to say, when you look at the videos, you're like, oh.
Who else is here, by the way, this morning besides me?
Well, let me introduce the rest of the group. Suni Homany.
You just got caught up short, Joe.
I know. Well, he brought up Boston.
No, it was my fault.
I was curious.
It was my fault.
Yeah. Suni Homany, journalism professor and investigative reporter, Rosemary R. Mayo is here. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
Always lovely to have you. And Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain joins us, as he does each and every Tuesday and wherever, whenever else we need him / ask for him / beg him.
Happy to be here, Joe.
Always always wonderful to have you all here. So let us begin with, let's start with Department of Homeland Security. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. We've talked about this issue before. Congressional Republicans are sharply divided, and they remain sharply divided, over how to fund the Department of Homeland Security, prompting White House officials to begin preparations for a potential shutdown of the agency this weekend. Josh Earnest told reporters Monday, he is the White House press secretary, right now that does not seem to be where we're headed. Late Monday, Senate Democrats again filibustered a Republican funding proposal for DHS because the money is tied to a repeal of President Obama's executive actions on immigration. Okay, so we have, going back to, I think, around the holidays, right, Rosemary? We were talking about what, as this Congress was coming into power, of how dangerous it would be to have a shutdown, not a full government shutdown, but in this case, a shutdown of a main agency. And both you and Alan were talking about how, you know, nobody could let this happen because it would be so bad, and yet it may just happen. So where are we now?
Well, I think there's been movement. The Republicans, led by Mitch McConnell, are now going towards, okay, let's pass a clean bill on funding Homeland Security, at least for the next 6 months until we get it all sorted out, and then take up immigration separately. And I think that makes a lot more sense, and I think that's what they're going to end up doing. They also are making calming noises that nothing will really change because TSA are almost all essential personnel.
Yeah.
Right. So they have to work even if they don't get paid. And I have to say, since I never met a TSA agent that I actually liked, the idea of making them work for nothing is kind of in an evil way.
They will receive belated pay.
Yes.
We had that in New York. Didn't we once have a thing where you got
script.
A script?
Yes. Right. New York State workers at budget time for many years, they would get issued scrip, which was treated by the banks essentially as money.
As cash.
It's like, just hold on to it. So I guess that would happen.
No, you didn't even have to hold on to it. I think they negotiated it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They treated it as if it were real. You know, I just think this is the dumbest thing I have ever seen on the Republican part. I said so in the beginning. You know, there are very few things that people really care about, and one of them is their security and their safety. And if you say, we got some cheap political trick, so we're going to hold up the funding of this essential Homeland Security agency based on the fact that we think we're going to make him blink on another issue, he just smiles and sits back there and says, okay, if that's what you want to do, you know, your funeral. And it is. And that's why Mitch McConnell blinked.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's coming across as the reasonable voice in the room, which I never thought I'd say.
It's true.
Not to me.
Yeah.
Well, Boehner is the one who's kind of rabid about this issue and is forcing the crisis. They're running out of time, though. It's only a few more days.
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, in the New York, in the Washington Post coverage of this, from a story time-stamped 8:50, that there's some real concern that they'll be able to get all of this in line. Right. In the time that they have, and also that while this plan, this new path that Mitch McConnell has put forth, there still aren't as many Democrats Republicans on board that they would need, and it's still, as I mentioned at the beginning, still sharply divided. So I don't know that it's really, this isn't a done deal yet.
Well, no, but I mean, nature abhors a vacuum. We've all seen it so many times, both here on the legislature in New York and in Washington. When they need to get stuff done, they get it done.
Well, it sounds like the impact will be minimal, since Homeland Security can compel people to work even without funding. And they do get some funding from fees. Like at all the airports, they collect a lot of fees from the airlines. So it isn't like they won't have any money. It just seems almost like symbolic. You know, they'll keep it going. They'll scale it back a little bit. And the fight could pick up.
But and this is to Alan's point, I think, right? The Democrats couldn't want this enough, right?
Yeah, but I think the Democrats, what Mike just said, is basically the worst thing that the Democrats could face. The fact that, oh, shucks, it's going to go forward no matter what. In other words, people will be protected. They have to work,
right.
which would be better for the Democrats, I suspect, in terms of their political position, if Homeland Security really was going to collapse.
Well, unless you're like Rosemary and it screws the TSA agents, and you're okay, that's...
Well, one must think they're hardly a well-motivated group of workers to begin with, and now they're working for nothing?
They're a very hard-working group that's somewhat...
Well, by the way, let us just clarify. I'm going to give you a chance, like the press did with Rudy Giuliani. Let me just give you a chance, because you never met one...
I'm sure there are some very good workers.
That personally, maybe not like their positions, but personally, they're probably fine people.
Well, wait a second now.
I have to say, you're right.
I get on, I go to Albany Airport all the time. I'm extremely well treated by the people there.
Yeah, but you're
famous. You know, they have to be nice to you because you'll be on the radio.
No, radio is not the same as TV. In the old days when it was TV,
if one of the agents is a former radio guy?
Mm. Oh, yeah, there is this former radio guy. Mason and Sheehan. Sheehan is now a TSA guy, or at least was when I left.
Yeah,
the old rock jocks from the Capital Region early on, you know, 80s kind of thing.
Yeah, there
you have to put your hands.
Well, it's remarkable. That's a great new career.
There he was, yeah.
You have to put yourself in the hands of a disgruntled former employee.
Not at all. I have to say, I totally disagree with you, Rosemary. I find these people to be, you know, upstanding and strong and very courteous, and I'm going to keep on flying. I'm sure Mike and Joe are too.
Well, it's unfair that these are the pawns, I guess, in this tug of war going on in Congress. And they're going to be the ones who have to wait to get their.
That's not about this. That's not what Rosemary's.
No, and
about.
I thought you were going to go
take her shoes off. She doesn't like that.
I thought you were going to go in a different direction, which was these people are the pawns that are sort of on the front lines that have to often
What do you mean?
Well, yes.
Sometimes when it's necessary.
To actually employ the policies that may not make, you know, be as sensible as...
That's right. 97-year-old woman getting, you know, frisked.
Right, but they're doing their jobs.
Yes.
Yeah, take my yogurt, I understand.
I didn't think it was liquid. I thought it was solid.
I want that to be the title of my first play. Take my yogurt. I'll understand. We'll be back and talk more about yogurt and many other. And weirdly, there was just a yogurt commercial on. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support comes from the Saratoga Springs Rotary Club, presenting its home and lifestyle show with 120 exhibitors and special events. Friday through Sunday at the Saratoga City Center, rotaryhomeshow.com. And Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, marketing creative and business ideas through brand development, website development, social media, print work, and public relations since 1996. iMediaConsult.com.
Good morning and welcome back to our discussion this morning on our roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, and Rosemary Armeo with us this morning. We welcome your input as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also go on our webpage, WAMC.org/roundtable. Go to the link 225-15 and click there and you can respond and also go through our Facebook page or tweet us. We would love to hear from you at WAMC Roundtable, at WAMC Roundtable.
Now, I may murder your letters when I read them, but I have to say, we really want to hear from you. We particularly want to hear from you if you've never, you know, made a contribution before. We like a
long-time listener, first-time writer.
We like all our children. However,
that's right, Mike.
It's great if you could just, it's so easy, you got to, and just say, you know, roundtable at WAMC.org, and you just check in with us. We'd love to have you.
Okay. Now, there are people who did that.
Yeah.
There maybe are. Maybe not completely what you were just talking about, but
no.
they have checked in.
Okay, so I got to read these, especially with some people first. Okay, so Irene says, the cost, the time it takes, the way people are treated is not good. You would think someone would come up with a privatized system where you can take a plane ride with less difficulty and a cheaper price, says Irene.
Good job, Irene.
You know, and Mary says, I travel via Albany Airport frequently. I am not famous and have always experienced efficient and friendly treatment from TSA personnel. You may see how my technique is to the ones that I agree with. I feature them, and I'm slow about them. Okay, maybe I'll even read it and say, if Rosemary doesn't want to take her shoes off, she can get a known traveler number.
That is Alan's line. I don't mind taking off my shoes. I just don't like being yelled at and barked at. And by the way, the global traveler number, which I get, actually doesn't work in most airports. TSA can just, for whatever reason, they're busy, they're trying to consolidate lines, can just say, get in the line with everybody else. So I'm not sure it's worth the $100.
Okay. And Barbara says, asking people to work without pay is the epitome of disrespect. All people do what they have to do to support themselves and family. They are two paychecks away from poverty. And that's from Barbara in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. And if you know a Barbara in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, give her a call and say, good thing you said there. Okay, so.
Pat her on the back.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, and James says, no. Yeah, maybe I didn't. I don't think I read it. TSA workers have to work without pay. Congress should work without pay until they pass a bill.
I agree with that.
I like it. And then
they've toyed with that in the past, and that really doesn't work either, does it?
They play games.
Really,
you know,
symbolic,
they play games.
Yeah.
They
get
play
all the
games.
Benefits.
Yeah,
right.
They play games. They say, "Well, we won't get paid until you get the budget passed," and then I think we've done that at the legislature,
state
level. But of course, the banks know these are big shot legislators and treat them, as you said before, Mike, as they do with Scrip. Oh yeah. Well, don't worry about that. Okay. So John, oh boy, in Newburgh, he's angry. He says, "You are pretty damn blasé about making folks who work for near minimum wage work for nothing. Shame, in big capital letters, shame on you, John in Newburgh."
I believe the shame is on Congress, and they're the ones who are willing to make this situation happen, not us.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. That's what I got.
Okay. So we welcome your letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we would love to hear from you. And then we'll move on to other topics. We just have about a minute before we go over to a news break. But when it comes to this, so I guess we're generally agreed upon on the panel that they'll blink and this will be taken care of by the deadline.
Absolutely. And of course, I'm sure that the Democrats are down by the side of their beds praying that they'll make it even more FUBAR than it is now. And FUBAR, for those of you who don't know, is fouled up beyond all recognition.
Oh, I've not heard it described that way.
FUBAR. Yeah.
Well, they have a court order from a circuit court judge in Texas, keeping the Obama immigration plan from taking effect, and that'll delay it for a while, give Congress another chance to stop it.
Yeah.
And we shall see. When we come back, we're going to talk about a lot of other issues, including peanuts. Fascinating peanut news. We'll be back after the short break. Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable. We would love to hear from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We have many other issues to discuss. We'll get to those in just a moment. We do want to check in with some more mail before we
Okay. Start. Joe says from Ghent, since you want to hear from your listeners, I want to say I'm sick of hearing Rosemary's juvenile dissing of the TSA workers. I've never met one who is not businesslike and even helpful with our elderly mother. I suspect that is the case when you get treated like you treat other people. I also feel she would be the first to pitch one of her fits if she were asked to work without pay. Well, first of all, I love Rosemary, and you know, and Rosemary has got a terrific sense of humor, and some of this has to be treated
tongue-in-cheek,
that way. Yeah, tongue in cheek and all that.
They were kind of mean to my elderly mother. They took away her crochet hook.
Oh, did they?
They did. I really do. I do not like TSA, but I think that my dissing of them isn't juvenile. It's rather clever. And Joe, I was a journalist. I didn't get a whole lot of money even when I did work, you know, in newspapers.
Yeah,
so working without pay wouldn't be that
also,
all that unusual.
You are many things. I have never known you to throw a fit. You don't seem like the fit-throwing type.
No, yeah, I like forked barbs instead,
yes.
Which is why Alan likes me.
No, that's correct. Okay, and then Joyce says, did we read that? I read it to you guys.
No, I don't think
I listen
you read
all
it
the time and have so much to say about everything. Love you all. That's all is in capital letters. I feel good about that so much, especially Rosemary, that I have never been able to get it together to send an email before the conversation is at an end. Just keep it going. Joe Donahue, you are the best.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's right. This polite applause ran through the room. Okay. And now Paul says, I recently traveled from LaGuardia to Miami. I was pleasantly surprised to be instructed to leave my shoes on and my computer in its bag. On the return trip, shoes off, computer out of the bag. What gives?
That's a great question.
They meet at lunch and breaks and say, okay, what can we do to mess up with them now?
Get the guy in the green sweater.
Yeah.
You think it's that? You think that's what it is?
Okay, that's my theory. It could be a little juvenile, though.
But sometimes you're absolutely true. Because you don't know. If they get mad at you and they say, oh, you should have taken your belt off. And you're like, well, the last airport I was at, I didn't have to take off my belt.
Well, so I guess some of the uncertainty is exactly what you want.
I was once admonished for taking off my shoes and my belt. And they said, don't you see you're on this, you know, they pointed
on
to
the
my
list.
Yes.
List.
Oh, you're
right.
That's yes. what we're talking about. Pre-check or whatever, yeah.
I didn't know what that meant.
The best one I was, line I was on recently was in Newark, and the guys were, the TSA people were really overworked. There was a security problem, and they didn't have enough people. They were really crabbing at people. And one woman in line just looked at the guy and said, "Sir, we're not being disrespectful. We just need information." And the guy backed down immediately and apologized and said, "Look, I've just been, you know, dealing with these questions all day long, and I'm sorry." That was the best exchange I ever saw.
And then Gary, who sometimes you agree with, sometimes you don't. "So Homeland Security is in danger of not being funded by Friday. So all of a sudden, they," in quotes, "trot out someone with a towel over his or her face saying they're going to blow up the Mall of America. Speaking of the Oscars, haven't we seen the movie over and over again?"
Yeah,
this
we
movie
talked
again.
About that yesterday.
And then... and then I'm looking here, and then Elizabeth says, "Agree, Rosemary. Albany is heavily staffed but poorly managed comparing to service and other airport experiences." That's from Beth. Well, I certainly don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either.
I have always been extremely well-treated, and even if I were famous, and even if, which is not true, I always notice that the people around me are well-treated also at the Albany airport.
I just like that everyone's assuming I mean Albany. I mean, I fly out of Albany, but I go to airports all over the world. Albany is not the worst, and it's not the target of most of my criticism.
Yeah.
I love the Albany airport. I really do.
I wish they were all that size. Yeah. Yeah. It's manageable.
And it's so accessible, so manageable.
It's just great. Like, I just love coming home to it.
In and out quickly.
I would love it if, you know, just a few more flights, direct flights.
Yeah, they need is a direct flight from here to Kennedy. Actually,
yes.
You know, so that you can make international connections and national
connections. Not to mention other spots in New York State. Buffalo, yes. Syracuse, that kind of thing would be nice too. But
yeah, they don't have that either.
And Eric says, "Listen, agree." That was another one. "Eric, look at your boarding pass. It tells you whether you are on the pre-list and don't need to take your shoes off, etc. Why you're on for one leg and not another is a mystery to me, but I'll take it when I can get it."
Well, that's true.
And they don't put the same people traveling together on it, right. So one is in the line anyway. It's
Roselle
just
got
a
away
mess.
With it the other day, and I didn't.
Yeah.
For a famous person.
sometimes being famous can backfire, I imagine.
Yeah, especially if they don't like you. And MJ says, "I run into a few of the same TSA bullies that Rosemary's encountered. They were more than redeemed by two delightful agents at Logan's departure last year. We were saying long and tearful goodbyes to our British family of sisters and cousins and aunts and brothers-in-law and great nieces and nephews. After a way too short visit, we tried to wave above the masses to the retreating group, including 2, 4, and 8-year-olds, when the TSA agents got our attention and with big smiles showed us to a roped-off section on the side that gave us a clear view of all 12 until they disappeared." Isn't that great?
That's nice. Lovely.
Yeah, there's more, but that's enough. Okay.
I've never heard of it, but it's lovely.
And they catered it. It was great.
They have a tough job.
And they do.
And Tony says, "By the way, did you see the cute baby photo in Mike Spain's paper front page of the Times Union? Capital Region section has photo of 4-month-old.
Oh, it's a lovely photo of a little kid, little animated face looking very smart, actually. Really bright little kid.
Michael says, "Hey, gang, let's make public policy decisions," in other words, TSA pay, "based on Rosemary's personal feelings."
I'm in favor of that.
In addition, her, quote, "qualifying the no pay statement is ludicrous. Ask her to take no paycheck now. She won't." And that's from Michael.
That is not what she says.
Oh, come on. There's too many mean people in the world.
Oh, well.
Okay.
I don't want to hear from listeners anymore. I've had enough.
I hear you. Tony broke the more than one rule, so she can't be on a second time. And let's see here. I think that's it. Do you see anything else, Joe?
I do not.
Wait a second. No, James. Alan. Alan is spelled A-L-A-N. Look, folks, I don't take very many things seriously in this world.
This is off topic.
But you do not spell Alan A-L-L-E-N. That's the way the Brits do it and the other. This is wrong. Alan, this is off topic, but please, Joe, why the show opens with music with a stripper theme? Well, that's obvious.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
If you can tune in right now.
We've been stripping since.
And see us all. You know, you could, we stream video. And you can stream, and nobody has any clothes on.
Yeah.
Okay, and then...
hell of a card game going on, too.
We had that.
Okay, that's all I got.
All right, that seems like enough, as Rosemary said. So let's move on to other topics and talk about what else is in the news. Mike, why don't you bring us up to date on this very interesting story having to do with I just clicked on the story that you sent me there, Mike, and now I'm actually putting into my Larry Schwartz, a top aide to Governor Cuomo, and his departure was announced, and yet he remains on the payroll. What gives?
Well, this all stems from a story, a column in the New York Post yesterday that chided the Cuomo administration because Larry Schwartz was to have left office as the chief of staff for the governor, and a new chief of staff has been named who was coming in in February. And the New York Post discovered that Schwartz remains on the public payroll and he's actually coming into the office and actually doing work and being paid for it. And this is some kind of monstrosity.
Director of New York City Operations, something like that.
Right. And the governor's office yesterday after this column said, you know, that there's a transition period. He had a lot of earned time. And instead of taking it as a lump sum, he's been helping out in the transition before the new chief of staff takes over. And it's kind of thing that goes on in government all the time. And they were particularly annoyed at the pejorative slant that they said was put on it by the way the columnist in the New York Post, Fred Dicker, put it. So, you know.
And they took an unusual opportunity to really hit back.
Yeah.
One guy said, there are liars, there are damn liars, and there's Fred Dicker, something like that.
Yeah.
That's untypical.
There's bad blood between the governor and the New York Post columnist. They used to be pretty close when Cuomo was the attorney general. He was in tight with Dicker. In fact, after he became governor, he would appear on Dicker's radio show frequently, and then they had a falling out over the SAFE Act, I believe, and it hasn't been good since then. And now they're
to say it hasn't been good Dicker had a contract to write the biography, and then the governor's people apparently went to the same publishing company, I think owned by Murdoch, I'm not sure, and said
no.
Harper, no.
One of the few that wasn't owned by Murdoch, probably.
Yeah, I think so. I thought it was okay. I may be wrong.
Yes,
I have to check this.
Well, I don't know. So,
but it just illustrates.
Do you want my book? So they gave the governor apparently the advance, and we've seen various numbers kicked around for how much that advance was, which has got some state legislators a little bit angry right now because they say if we have to tell everything we've got. When we get it, we want the governor to do that, too.
Well, you're referring to the ethics package that the governor is pushing right now, which would require elected officials state lawmakers to disclose their sources of income and have some level of higher level of reporting that they say that money is the source of much of the corruption that's been identified in Albany. And this is his approach.
Well, but Mike, I saw one figure being kicked around and I have no idea if this is valid, that the governor got something like $900,000 or something like that.
I'm not an author, but let me ask a couple of authors.
Well, ask me.
People are familiar. You're an author.
I have two very well-selling
When you get
books.
An advance from a publishing company, conventionally, do you get to keep it if your book doesn't sell?
Yes, people keep it. I'll tell a story. May I?
Yeah, please.
I was writing a book about the police commissioner in New York City. He and I were collaborating, and another guy came along with a bigger reputation, and mine was off the thing. And it was Harcourt, Brace & Jovanovich was the publisher. And I took the money that they had sent me. It wasn't much, $5,000, something like that. And I sent it back to
them.
You're
not required to disclose that, actually.
I sent it back to them. And I immediately got a letter back from the president of Harcourt commending me and saying, this is one of the few times that he has seen people act with integrity.
Did they cash the check?
I sent them back the money. You know, that was the way to do it, I thought. I didn't think I deserved it. In any case, not a lot of people bought that book. So if there was an astronomical amount, and I have no idea whether that reference was correct or not, but whatever it was, 2,000 people apparently bought the book.
Reportedly, yeah.
Reportedly. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot of people.
Well, you know, it'll be on the shelves soon in the discounted shelves, and maybe it'll sell more, and it'll make some, you know, some waves.
Come
more people read it.
Paperback, yeah.
Really?
I don't know if that it will come out in paperback, but it might be less expensive.
No, it'll come out in paperback.
It's funny because the book didn't have references, for example, to the Moreland Act Commission and other things that the governor had been through.
Actually, you know, what would be interesting is if he does sort of a, you know, updated version a couple of years from now. That might actually be very interesting.
That's right. And that's what they normally would do if you, when you put it in paperback, is say, with a new foreword and afterword.
By Alan Chartok.
That's right.
Author of Me and Mario.
Hmm. See, there's still potential.
So,
if he
wrote a new chapter about recollections about his father and other things, and they put that as a new, it could, yeah.
I think that's a great idea. You ought to suggest it.
Well,
I think you just
did. I'm sure they've already got that one covered. But all right.
I doubt it.
Okay. By the way, I want to get. We're getting a lot of mail about the. I mentioned the Route 6 photo about Provincetown. Apparently, photoshopped.
Oh.
Everyone's saying it was photoshopped. What I find interesting is I saw it on the Boston Globe site. So they fell for it too. But so that's the problem. You know, you look at it and you say, what?
But Rosemary testified that it is much worse.
There's a lot of snow.
Well, I'm a lot shorter than that truck thing you mentioned.
Yeah.
But definitely the towers were above my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's actually two. One person said it was photoshopped. Another person said that it was actually taken in Japan. So I don't know. I don't know.
Snowy
actually,
Japan.
I don't really know what the what the truth is. All I know is that if you go on Route 6 from Chatham, there seems to be a lot of snow there.
Oh, well, Kenny G, we know him very well from Casco.
Yes, so Ken.
I just went through customs returning from a ski trip to Canada. A security officer noticed that I had a tiny scrape on my finger as it going through the system. A little bit later, found me down the line to hand me some first aid wipes. I thought that was great. No complaints. And then Joyce wrote again, but we only read one. And then we heard from David, who said, if you think TSA is bad, LL security is tough, but I'd rather be safe. However, I've seen TSA agents sipping lattes and undergarments showing. Oh, touch, touch, touch. So what if they're, you know, if their undergarment is showing?
I mean, Israeli security is like the toughest I've ever been through. But they're polite. They're just professional. Our guys are not.
And they know what they're doing. Unfortunately, in this country, probably some of the things that they're doing would not be considered to be acceptable.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, anyway, enough on TSA.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot more of that. Okay. Let's do peanuts.
Okay, let's do peanuts. I forget. We need to break, right? Okay. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about peanuts and much more. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years, 800-342-3661. And Stewart Shops, we are closer to you, with milk from local farms.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm not going to tell tales out of school, but Mike Spain has a lovely singing voice. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, and let us go to the peanut story. The peanut story is, I found to be really interesting because obviously we've heard an awful lot about allergies and peanut allergies and so forth. And there is now a report that exposing infants to peanuts can cause reduction in peanut allergies, according to this new study that was released yesterday. Peanut allergy an occasionally life-threatening condition that has prompted changes in food consumption rules everywhere from preschools to airlines can be sharply reduced by feeding peanut protein to children at risk for the condition beginning when they are infants, according to this study yesterday. This is from the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institutes of Health.
Now the other side of that is that it's probably true from an epidemiological perspective that what they say is so. But I've read at least one part of this that says, but there are some kids who, from the very moment they're born, have these terrible reactions to peanuts, and you can't really experiment.
They make it very clear that no parent should unilaterally start exposing their newborns to peanut extracts. That you need to have a skin prick test from an allergist to determine if there is a sensitivity, and then work with your physician if this is going to be a process that does actually reduce the percentage of older kids at age 5 who have severe allergies to peanuts. So it's not to say it'll work on every child. It's not to say every child is allergic to peanuts, but it's not something that you should try at home without
do also say that this could potentially have implications for those that have milk allergies and egg allergies as children as well. But again, to your point, Mike, they are so clear on the fact that if you seem to be that testing is very important, and if you seem to be at risk at that very early age, and I think that may be the hard part to determine in some cases.
But there's hope in this. I mean, when you think about how many, the number of children who are allergic to peanuts and peanut products is way up in recent years. And some suggestion now is that because they're not exposed to peanuts at a very early age, that's why.
Mm. Mm. I wonder how they'll be served on Korean Airlines.
Mm. Well, she got into trouble for that. On a plate. She got the
remember that? She got kicked off. She just got, sentenced to a year in jail. This is the daughter of the founder, and they were macadamia nuts, I believe.
They were.
Yeah.
What do you think, Rosemary?
I think it's fascinating why so many kids have it in the first place. Now, we never used to hear about this. It's really interesting. Where did this allergy come from and what's caused it? And if there's a way to stop it, that's great. But I would be – we have a newborn baby in our family. I'm a great aunt. And I sure wouldn't want Madeline to be, smeared with peanut butter or something until we figured out what it would do to her. So be careful.
Well, but I love the idea. I love the idea of, people lining up to get the skin – skin prick test. That costs a lot of money, of course, and whether or not everybody can do it is another whole story, right?
Well, there's indicators from family hereditary. It could be hereditary that you have this sensitivity to peanuts, and that will define, your family history could define whether you're a good candidate to have that test early on, because if you have it in your family, it's good to know about it.
Absolutely. But I love peanut butter, and I'm always going to love peanut butter.
Well, Mike was talking about another report that also came out, another study about germs, talking about what we expose our kids to. And Mike, talk about that.
Well, it was done in Sweden, and they looked at households where they have a dishwasher, which uses high temperatures to clean the dishes, and households that where the people don't have a dishwasher and they hand wash the dishes, where there's some residual bacteria that might stay on the dishes when you leave them out to air dry. And the families in the households that did not use a dishwasher had a better immune system and had more resistance
to
colds.
This is so interesting.
Because
in my home, I've been responsible for being accused of many things, not putting down the toilet seat, not doing this or that. And one of the things that I've always been accused of is not properly washing the dishes when I'm washing the dishes. So it turns out, based on what you just said, that
I'm protecting your family.
I'm a hero.
Yeah. Well, I guess it goes to the
theory. What do you mean there's egg left on it? Mom, I had to do that. That's on purpose.
No. There's never egg on
you, Mom.
There's never egg in our house, because what we do is we put the plates with a tiny bit of egg down on the floor, right, Joe? And Murray comes and licks it all up.
And
then you put it in the clean.
Why does that gross you out?
Clean
dog's
section.
Dog's licking my plate. No.
Oh, my God. No, come on.
No, please. I mean, there's nothing.
You go into a hotel And yeah. you can tell me that that's a safer environment than having a dog around?
A dog lick your plate.
Oh, my God.
And Rosemary, be sure.
What happens in the hotel? Wait a minute.
But in the hotel, they often have, you know, it depends
perhaps
on the country.
God knows what's going on.
They have monkeys, you know, who eat the peanuts on the plates.
Stop it.
Well,
you promised.
The overall story here is that immunologists say that getting your immune system action early on in life is good for you, right?
Well, they used to say that when we were little, kids have to eat a pound of dirt. You know, it's just
well,
to
in
get
a lifetime, you'll eat a pound of dirt.
I think, and Alan can attest to this, but yeah. I am very friendly with animals and dogs. I let them lick my face. I don't care about any of that. And I think that's fine. But I mean, I understand why people would be sort of grossed out by it. I guess.
Why?
But I feel much more comfortable with
Rosemary,
an animal than I do.
Are you more like Lucy in the Peanuts cartoon? Speaking of peanuts, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, good. Nice.
I've been licked by a dog.
See, that doesn't
like
bother
that.
Me at all.
Yeah. Sure. Sure, and I got to stop right here.
Yes, you do.
I think animals are like kids. You know, if they're your own, you forgive it more.
Yeah.
You can stand it if it's your own. But I don't want someone else's dog licking me.
I don't know.
Or other
I met a lovely German shepherd by the name of Maxwell the other day, who was behind the counter at the tire center, and we canoodled for a while. He was a lovely animal.
Yeah. Don't they just...
I like your raccoon stories.
A question of inquiry. Aren't dogs somehow immune from getting germinated?
I think so.
They do have a natural protection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, in other words, if they're germinated, you can't plant them?
No. But if they lick, but if they lick your face... Like if they lick your
meaning
face,
if they drink out of the toilet, they're not going to get sick
if you drink
out of the toilet.
Okay. Yeah.
No, if
okay.
they lick you after.
And if they lick you after they drink out of the toilet.
Oh, boy.
Well.
A new low.
This has devolved.
This is really.
This is, here we are. So let's end here, because God only knows where else we could go. And I just want to thank everybody, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Arameo, Mike Spain, and Rosemary and Alan will be back tomorrow. Mike, we'll see you next week at some point, and we'll come back and do it again. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.